Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. It is Budweiser's weekday sports beat. It is brought to you by Budweiser, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Baseball fans, this Bud's for you. Tim Growl, State Farm Insurance. You need life insurance today. Tomorrow will be too late. Protect your family by calling Tim at 232-9981. The Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Hunger is a story we can end. Find out how at feedindiana.org. And Bowlers Country Club hosting their annual corn and sausage roast this Saturday. Everyone is invited to join the fun at Bowlers Country Club on South Bend's west side. Jimmy Irizarry, Vince D'Addario in for Sean the rest of the week. We are joined right now by the one and only Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. Brian, how are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent, excellent. Got your previews as far as positions go. The wide receivers are up, and you seem optimistic. Why is that?
Well, I just, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer in talent, and I think usually talent tends to win the day. And when I look at that group, I see a group that's got talent. And the other thing, too, Jim, you know, we've seen in football over the years that you can have talent, but if your talent's like two or three guys, mm-hmm. one of those guys gets hurt, one of those guys doesn't play to his potential, all of a sudden you're not very good.
Right.
The other thing I like about this group is its depth of talent. You know, it's like if Kevin Austin's not ready to play, they're not in trouble. I mean, they're not completely done. They've got other talented players. If Braden Lindsay gets hurt again, they've got other talented players that they can turn to. Some don't have the experience of the older guys, but I just feel like in college football, when you have, you know, 8-9 receivers the way that Notre Dame does, and guys that I grade out as really top-level players, you know, not Will Fuller top-level players, but just really good football players, mm-hmm. you have a good chance to be effective. And I think then when you look at the complementary pieces around them, or actually they are the complementary pieces to talented players like Kyren Williams and Michael Mayer and Chris Tyree, they don't have to be Michael Floyd or Will Fuller or Chase Claypool. And I think the other part to it, Jim, is I love the complementary skill set they have to each other. You know, Kevin Austin is what he is, and he's not like Braden Lindsay, who's not like Lawrence Keys, who's not like Avery Dave. I mean, there's some carryover at spots, but there's also some really unique skills that those guys bring to the table. You know, Braden Lindsay's an explosive guy that can, you know, he's got, what, a 70-yard touchdown pass on a post route. He's got a 51-yard touchdown on a reverse. He's got a 61-yard touchdown on a jet sweep. And he's got a 25-yard touchdown on a screen. He can
not
score
exactly
a lot of different ways.
Not exactly chop liver there, right.
Right. And then you look at a guy like Kevin Austin who brings some size and physicality to the table, plus he's got some speed. But, you know, you also have guys like Xavier Watts, who's a bit of an after-the-catch guy. Lawrence Keys has just really precise route-running ability. So there's just all Avery Davis is a savvy football player that just knows how to get open. You know, shocker that a quarterback is a really high IQ, a former quarterback's a really high IQ football player, right? It's just that unique skill set. And then you look at the freshman class and it's just like reloading. And that's why I'm excited about what this group can be.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
So Brian, I coach baseball, so I'm putting this one on a tee for you.
thanks.
We're gonna fast forward 2 months from right now. Okay, so we're looking at the end of September, beginning of October. Which wide receiver are people going to be talking about? Do you think that maybe they weren't anticipating talking about going into the season?
Right, so that takes Kevin Austin and Braden Lindsay off the table, right?
Right.
Because they
yes.
get talked about a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think there's two guys. 2 weeks ago, Vince, I would have said Xavier Watts, but obviously you and I talk about him all the time on our podcast, but he wasn't getting a lot of attention. But it's getting more now with the interview that I did with Coach Reese where he talked a lot about Xavier Watts. I think a guy for me that I would go to, Vince, is Lawrence Keys. I think Lawrence Keys is a very underrated, underappreciated guy that the one time he got an opportunity to step up and play, he made big plays. He had a really clutch third down reception in the season opener in 2019 against Louisville. Then the next week he goes out and just makes a great one-on-one catch for a 28-yard fade route as an outside guy to set up a score against Georgia at Georgia. And then, of course, he was kind of removed from the lineup because some older players came back and were injured and those type of things. And so I think he's a guy, Vince, that, he's got speed, he's got quickness, he's got good ball skills. He's just a really talented player he's always been overlooked because he was in the same class with Braden Lindsay and Kevin Austin and Micah Jones and guys like that. And he's never really had that chance to shine over a period of time. And I think he's going to do that. And I think he's a guy that when we get to the end of September, people are going to be like, wow, where'd that guy come from?
So there was an announcement of the Butkus Award watch list. Four Notre Dame linebacker commits are on that list. Tell us about them. Of course, we know about Jalen Snead, stud.
Mm-hmm. And, to me, Jalen Snead's not even the highest-ranked linebacker on my board. That's Josh Burnham,
okay.
Who's a really intriguing player. He actually is also credit to 247 Sports. They also have him ranked as not only the highest-ranked linebacker in the class for Notre Dame, they have him ranked as the highest-ranked recruit, the commit in the class. He's ranked as a top 100 recruit. I graded him out as a top 100 recruit. Jimmy's really interesting. He's almost 6'4". He's about 215 to 220 pounds. He's incredibly athletic, very explosive athlete, and he's a kid that still doesn't really know what he's doing as a linebacker. He just gets by on God-given ability. He plays quarterback on offense, and he's a, you think about what, Tim Tebow was when he wasn't throwing. That's mm-hmm. Josh Burnham at the high school level.
Wow.
He's just snap him the ball, and he's going to go do something. It's kind of like maybe you call him a quarterback, but he's more of a single wing quarterback.
Okay.
It's just the easiest way to get our best player the football.
Right.
It's just to snap it to him. And that's called, to me, good coaching.
Right.
Don't get too cute. Just you got this stud. Get him the ball. Very athletic player, smart player, pretty good high school basketball. Not a college basketball player, but a guy that's a good high school basketball player because he is long and he's athletic. And and just instinctive and all those type of things. And then you put him at a place like Notre Dame with Matt Bayless as the strength coach, and you look at a guy like Marcus Freeman and Nick Lozinski who can teach him the finer points of the position. He's got tremendous, tremendous upside. And he's versatile. He could play Mike. He could play the Will. He could even line up on the edge with his explosiveness and his length and maybe rush off the edge in certain looks. You know, then you look at a situation where, you know, you have Nolan Ziegler, who's another long athletic player, 6'4", 205 pounds, really, really good lacrosse player, like really good lacrosse player. So he's skilled. He plays kind of safety in high school. I think he could be more of a safety or a rover at the next level. So he's an outside guy, but he also has a really nice frame that you say maybe eventually he grows inside. And, you know, again, you're hearing a theme, right? Versatile, right? The first three guys, a lot of versatility. And
yeah,
then you have
I've heard this word a few times right now, yeah.
Right. And then you have Junior Tui Alamaka, not a versatile guy. He is a thumper. He is a guy you say, where's the middle of your defense? You put him right there, and you say, see ball, get ball, you know? And he's just a big physical kid, 230-plus pounds, you know? The really lazy comparison, it's not lazy, the really easy comparison is to compare him to Manti Te'o because he's got a similar body type. He's very instinctive. He's not quite the athlete Manti was. So it's one of those things where I'm like, man, that's a really, I feel like that's a lazy analysis. But then I watch him, I'm like, yeah, but it fits. You know, it makes sense because he's so strong and powerful and instinctive. He doesn't have the same ceiling as the other players, but I'd say he probably has the highest floor of all of them. And so it's just a really nice group that complements each other well. And look, they needed numbers in this class and they needed impact talent in this class. And I think they got that in all four of the commitments they have a linebacker.
Brian, you know, I'm going back to offense because that's what I like to talk about. So we've talked about what things might look like at the wide receiver position, you know, going in, you know, a month and a half from now. I want to ask you about Jack Cohn because I think that, you know, he falls into that category of, at least at the moment, where I think people are high on him or people have no idea what to expect or they're just not high on him at all. And so, for example, I pulled up, you know, you just Google top quarterbacks of 2021, right? I found a list of top quarterbacks. They've got Jack Cohn in the third tier, 24th overall, right, going into this season with Notre Dame. Number one, why is he not getting the respect that he deserves nationally? And number two, what do you see Jack Cohn being at Notre Dame? Do you think he's going to be, you know, in the conversation for a top-tier quarterback in the country? Or, you know, what are your expectations for Jack Cohn this year at Notre Dame?
I think Jack's going to continue to be overlooked by national analysts. And I think there's a mistake that a lot of people make in scouting and evaluating. And this goes all the way up to people that do this for a living. And obviously fans make it as well, is you see a guy do something in an offense or a defense in a scheme. And you say, okay, that's who he is. As if Wisconsin did what they did because that's all Jack Cohn could do. As opposed to, no, that's what Jack Cohn was allowed to do because that's the offense that Wisconsin runs. And so it's a boring, dull offense that didn't allow him to use what I believe is a really impressive skill set as much as he would have if he would have played, you know, in a system that was more, you know, pass friendly or, you know, passer friendly. And so when you look at the kid, I see a guy say, so how do you properly evaluate Jack Cohn? Say, well, then meet when you play in a system like that, you have to compare him to who else has played in it, right? That's the only comparison that you really have. And then you look at he completed 69.6% of his passes. Well, the only guy to come within 5 percentage points of that in the 10 years prior to his time there, or I should say 8 years prior to his time there, was this guy named Russell Wilson, right? And you look at his quarterback rating of over 151. Say the only guy to have a higher quarterback rating than that in the 9 years before he played was this guy named Russell Wilson, right? That's pretty good company. And his numbers were significantly better in some of those areas that you can use to define a guy beyond just raw numbers like passing yards and touchdowns and things like that. But I see a kid that's a smart player. I see a kid that understands getting the ball out on time. I see a guy that understands proper ball placement. What that means is, Vince, as you know, as a football coach, it's not always the right throw to just, you know, lead a guy and get that ball right in the middle of his chest or right out in front of him. Sometimes that could be the worst thing you can do. Sometimes you want to throw a ball on his back hip, because if you lead him, he's going to get crushed or it's going to get pissed off or picked off, excuse me. And, you know, then you get that ball in the back hip and then he can kind of turn and he can catch it and then he gets hit and that's how you complete a pass. Well, Jack understands that. He's also he's a really gritty quarterback. And this is something that's important to me as a evaluator of quarterbacks is this a guy that's willing to take a chance? And to take a chance can mean a couple things. Number one is, hey, that ball's going to be a little hard to complete, but I'm going to get it out there. I'm going to give my guy a chance to go make that play. Or, okay, in order to let this route develop and get this ball out, I'm going to have to take a hit. And so do I just tuck it and run and, you know, scramble or check it down, or do I take that hit? And Jack has shown the ability and the willingness to do both of those, to say, hey, look, I'm going to take this chance. Now, he doesn't do it in a way – he only threw five picks, right? So he doesn't do it in a way that's unsound and he's throwing it into triple coverage. And, gee, I thought I could do that. It's more of a – hey, I'm going to give my guy a chance to go make this play. And that's something that I've complained a lot about not seeing in the Notre Dame offense the last couple of years. So I think that is also something that I like about him. And honestly, Vince, to back to Jim's original question, Jack Cohn's willingness to get the ball out on time, in good place, taking chances, it ties into also why I'm so high on this receiving core. Because I think they're going to have a quarterback that's going to not be afraid to get him the ball and take what the defense gives him and give him chances to go out and make plays.
Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com joining Vince D'Addario and me, Jimmy Rosario, on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. Let's just get into the big buzzword of the week as far as college football goes and conference realignment. First of all, do you see what Texas and Oklahoma are doing as being a positive for college football?
It's a negative for college football. It's the exact opposite of that. This is a pure move of greed by the program that generates more revenue than any other program in the country. That's all it is. I mean, people say, well, you know, why can't the Big 12 get more money? You know, they've got this big market in Austin, they've got Oklahoma and all this other kind of things. Well, it's because if you're a TV company, do you really want to commit to Texas and the Big 12 when Texas won't even commit to the Big 12? I mean, this isn't the first time Texas has talked about leaving. They flirted with the Pac-10 back in 2010 and 11. They've talked about maybe going independent. They've hinted those rumors with the Longhorn Network. Well, then the Longhorn Network didn't have nearly success that they thought it would. And so now it's about running to the SEC. And then to do it the manner in which they did it, which is behind the scenes for over a year, not letting the Big 12 know what's going on and not giving the Big 12 a chance to say, hey, look, here's what we can do to make you happy or whatever the case may be.
Right.
I think it's a pure greed move, and that's what Texas is all about, right? Texas is all about, I don't care how bad it screws over the other teams in our league or anybody else like that, we're going to do what's best for Texas. And, you know, and that's so typical of what we see in a lot of college football leadership, where then you look at that at Notre Dame. Notre Dame always gets accused of being greedy because they stayed independent. Now, again, Notre Dame's been independent for 100 years,
right?
And when the last time Notre Dame won a title, there was like 30-some independent teams that all left being independent. Notre Dame hasn't done anything different than what they've done for decades, but they're considered greedy when, in fact, Notre Dame leaves money on the table to stay independent.
Yeah.
Right? And yet Notre Dame gets hammered, and yet the media is just fawning over Texas. Oh, they're going to the SEC. This is so great for college football. No, it's not. Mm-mm. This is terrible for college football. And all the traditions that made college football great are being destroyed and dismantled in a very short period of time, and I don't think that's good for the game.
Yeah, I don't see the Big 12 sticking together until 2025. Do you?
They're gonna have to make some moves, right? And I think there's a couple moves out there that I don't know if they're gonna be capable of making, but I'm taking those swings. Number one, you got to bring Houston in, right? Houston's a top 15 market. If you brought Houston into the league, right? And Houston's not necessarily a big time program, but you need a big market. You're not going to replace the Dallas market, right?
Yeah.
You're just not. But you still have TCU, so you get a little cut of that Dallas market. Plus, you have Big 12 fans. I think Houston gives you a big market, but you've got to try to swing for the fences and maybe go try to get a USC. And I don't know if USC would be interested, but I know the Pac-12 is a really weak conference right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to take a swing for something like that, because you're going to have to show the remaining teams in your league that, hey, we're not going down without a fight. Because if you don't do something big, or at least try to do something big to make it look like you're trying to really keep this thing together, then what's the incentive going to be for know, for TCU to stay and Iowa State to stay and Kansas to stay when the Big Ten comes calling and the Pac-12 comes calling. They need to be proactive, and if they're going to keep this thing together, they're going to have to figure out a way to get some teams in there. And again, it's not about, okay, go get four good teams. Oh, go get Nebraska and Colorado. Those aren't markets. That you need at least one or two big markets that are going to help you to go get the kind of TV deal that you couldn't get with Texas on there for a host of reasons.
Yeah, that's why the Big Ten went to Pennsylvania and is now in Maryland and New Jersey. So yeah,
right. Does anyone think Rutgers was brought into the Big Ten for their football,
for their overall athletic success?
Right. Or Maryland? No, it's the New York, it's the DC, Baltimore, DC TV markets. That's all it was about.
So, Brian, let's circle this back to Notre Dame. A lot of people out there, they see, you know, this move potentially to the SEC for Texas and Oklahoma, making that super conference that other conferences are going to have to join. And what does that mean for Notre Dame? And so I guess my question to you is, do you think Notre Dame needs to be proactive and join a conference now? Or do they wait until they get completely shut out of the college football playoff before they join a conference?
I don't really think – I wouldn't really – can I go with a different option?
So you can go with whatever option you want, brother.
I don't think proactive means go to a conference now. I think there's a lot of things you can do to be proactive. For example, the last time we went through this super conference push – Jack Swarbrick was very proactive, but that proactiveness was doing things to make sure independence could be kept by Notre Dame. So I think there's that. They're going to be proactive, but you know, maybe it's saying, hey, look, USC, you don't need the Pac-12. You don't need the Big 12. You know, maybe you go independent. You know, there's plenty of things that they could do to try to maintain their strength. And as you and I have talked about in a recent show, Vince, if Notre Dame was going to join a conference, I wouldn't be opposed to them kind of saying, okay, forget it. We're going to start our own, you know, something mm-hmm. fun like that. Mm. But I think the only reason Notre Dame goes independent is, at the end of the day, if number one, a conference makes them just an insane offer that they can't turn down. And I don't see that happening. I don't think that offer is out there. The other thing is that the realignment that ensues looks to leave them out of being able to schedule. So, for example, I'm going to be very curious to when the SEC, if that happens soon. So let's just say Texas and Oklahoma pay the $70 million or whatever it is to get out of their TV rights deal and they start in the SEC in 2022, right, which is something that's been rumored. What does the SEC do as far as scheduling for their conference? Do they keep it at, you know, 8? Do they go up to 9? If they keep it at 8 or go up to 9, there's no problem. There's still 3 to 4 non-conference games. You can get teams from that league. If they go up to 10, whether it be pods or whether it's just 2 divisions of 8, then you start getting a little bit nervous if you're Notre Dame. Because now teams only have 2 non-conference games. That's an extra conference game against a strong conference. Are they going to really want to schedule Notre Dame as a non-conference game? Are they going to want to schedule, you know, in-state U, which they've always done, FCS in-state U, some team that they can go beat by 70? It's basically a bye week. That's what you're most likely going to see. Now, that's when Notre Dame could say, look, yes, we want to be independent, but we also still want to have a Division I football program. You know, we don't want to be in an independent where we're playing Liberty and Army every year, which was the danger that we talked about last year when the Big Ten or the ACC and the Big Ten – first canceled their season, right? The Big 12 mm-hmm. canceled their seasons, and Notre Dame's like left without a bunch of different, you know, teams to play. You know, that schedule, if the ACC doesn't step up, that schedule would have looked a little boring. You know, it would have looked a lot like BYU schedule, yeah. Right? So I think that's the only thing that would force Notre Dame into joining a league is, Vince, is if it was a situation where they're just like, look, we can't put together a competitive schedule anymore. And I think that would be the thing that would force them. Because we've seen, look, if Notre Dame's playing a bunch of weak home games and a bunch of, you know, then fans don't pay as much. They don't come as much. And if your schedule's filled with, you know, BYUs and Liberties and Armies and teams like that, just top to bottom, that Fighting Irish media thing that they're trying to push for to eventually be their own TV deal, so to speak, doesn't mean as much because no one's turning on to watch Notre Dame play Rice. That's just the reality of it.
That's a fantastic, you know, kind of extrapolating further on that, you know, NBC doesn't pay for you know, Notre Dame versus BYU. You know, it's like,
right.
Who cares? You know, we're not.
Right.
Have fun on USA, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. If Notre Dame is left in the dark, then not only does it hurt Notre Dame's brand and what they're trying to build their own network, but what's the enticement for NBC to re-up in 2025? That's a great point. I didn't even go that far with it, but that only adds to the fact that the scheduling piece is going to truly be what forces Notre Dame to the league. It's not going to be because of money, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. IrishBreakdown.com, lots of good stuff up there from Brian Driscoll. Tell us about some of it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those weird things where you're asking me to, like, pump up my own stuff. Like, well, this great piece that I did was just phenomenal. We are going through
this should win an award.
We are going through a series right now, and if I do say so myself, they're tremendous. A countdown to kickoff series where each day I kind of preview a different position group. So today I did receivers, yesterday I did running backs. I've already done quarterbacks and defensive ends where I just look at the depth chart and what are some of the storylines, you know. So when I look at the receiving class, it's, you know, it's looking at Avery Davis. Can he become a go-to receiver this year? Will the 2018 class step up, which means, you know, Kevin Austin and Braden Lindsay being healthy? You know, will Lawrence Keys be able to kind of have a breakout season? What role will the freshman play? So just go through that, and then, you know, five key questions about the receivers, and then sort of a prediction of if the receiving corps plays to its potential, it'll look like this. So I do that with each position group. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about tight ends. Like I said, today I did receivers, so that's certainly something interesting to look at. And then, of course, I'm going to start a series on this opponent, so I'm going to kind of rank the schedule. And, you know, just 1 to 12, and then kind of take a peek at each team, and then do some fun stuff like the all-opponent team and who are the best backfields that Notre Dame's going to face, who are the best offensive lines are going to face, things like that. So, because, gosh, I mean, we're a week and a half, 2 weeks away from fall camp, and, you know, we're just a month and a little over from kicking off against Florida State. So, I mean, it's this recruiting stuff has kind of occupied us all summer and kept us busy, but now it's time to really start, like, wow, the season's almost here. It's time to get rocking and rolling on those previews.
Well, there's another thing on IrishBreakdown.com that I want to plug too, Brian, is that five-part series on the Notre Dame Big Ten relationship.
Yeah, that was really well done.
It is a really, really good read, and it really gives some insight and some history to that relationship. And I would
and
highly suggest
I never, ever, ever want to see Notre Dame join the Big Ten.
Yes, it is.
Like, FCS than join the Big Ten.
It is worth a read. I'm telling you, everybody, go out, check out IrishBreakdown.com, check out that series on Notre Dame and the Big Ten. It is eye-opening because there's a lot of stuff I didn't know in there. It's good.
If Notre Dame went FCS, though, maybe they could get a regular season game against Alabama.
True. Florida would definitely be willing to play him at that point in time. They'd definitely be willing to play Florida, no question. That's awesome.
Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. Thank you, as always, for enlightening us on all things Notre Dame and college football, especially with realignment going on right now. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate y'all having me on. Have a great day.
You too. Coming up in about 10 minutes, got a SportsCenter update. Going to take a little look at some baseball coming up as far as the near future goes right here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.